record what God was giving me, and I found it very helpful as I was learning, because it helped me to confirm the accuracy later on as things came to pass. I could go back and go, oh man, this was already on the tape. That's very helpful as you learn. I talked a little bit about this today, but I want to go a little deeper in it. As you sit in prayer, as you grow in relationship, eventually your prayer life should change. And I'm not talking about when you're at a prayer meeting. I mean, when I'm at a public prayer meeting, I'm pretty much pressing in, and, you know, that's different. But when I'm in relationship with Him, when it's me and Him alone, you know, that's your most profound times, when it's you and Him by yourselves, just having a fellowship. And over the years, or over time, that relationship should change to a place where you are listening to Him. You are hearing from Him. He is teaching you. And one of the things that helped me grow into that was He taught me how to speak out whatever He gave me in prayer. Now, not if it was a picture or anything, but if He said a sentence to me, one sentence, I spoke it out. And not only because I was prophesying it and proclaiming it in the earth, but because He said that's a training for you to learn how to speak in the flow. Because basically, when you preach under a prophetic anointing, what is happening is the Holy Spirit is giving you what to say, and you're saying it right after Him. Most of the time, that's what's really going on. And so He's basically talking to people through you, but it's not like He's controlling your mouth or making you say it. It's more like He's giving you the unction to say it, and you sort of goes in your ear, you know, spiritual ear, so to speak, and out of your mouth, so that you can stand and prophesy. But you have to grow into the prophetic. You have to grow into it. Most people don't get it immediately. I certainly did not. It took me a long, long time. But it's been worth what it took, because I'll tell you, when hard times come, it is wonderful when you can hear from God. You know, it's wonderful if you've spent the time it took to get a hold of this, because when tough times come and everybody's freaking out, you know, it's like Edgar talks about the heart thing. See, he has a testimony most of you have heard about, is he had a heart attack. And I'm going to tell you, he looked terrible. He came in from snowblowing and his skin looked like pasty white. It was terrible, horrible looking. He was sweating. He was holding his abdomen. He said he had a band around his chest. He said, I do not feel right. And by the next day, it was worse. He felt really bad. He said, if I don't start feeling better, I'm going to the doctor. And I just quietly kind of checked in. I said, Lord, what do you say about this? And just quietly, the Lord said, he's going to be okay. When Edgar tells the story, he just talks about it like I just stood on the word. And I do that sometimes. Sometimes you do that. But I know God's voice. And I knew when He said He's going to be okay, He's going to be okay. That was the end of it for me. And so throughout the next few days, as Edgar would complain of pain, and then he went and got a horrible report from the doctor, and they made him go to the hospital. It was not good. But every time I'd check in, every time, I would say, He's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. All right. Well, I'm not going to sweat it then, because I know you. And you've never lied to me. And so if you say it's okay, it's okay. And I can take that to the bank. And see, it took me years to get to that point, but I wouldn't trade that for anything, because I'm telling you, there's days, I got to say it. Did you ever see SpongeBob when all the fists go into a panic and they're all like, ah! You know, they're lighting torches and running through the town panicking? A lot of times that's how the believers are. Something bad happens and everybody panics, you know. I've seen people come unglued, just fall apart because something bad happened. Well, you know, I'm not condemning anybody. That used to be me years ago. That was me. Hallelujah. Falling apart. As Andrew Womack would say, falling apart like a $2 suitcase. But you don't have to come apart or come unglued if you come to know God well enough, first of all, because you know that no matter what the enemy throws, God will turn it around for your favor. He will turn it into something good. That's His MO. That's what He does. You can bank on it. You can stand on it. You can live on that. It is the truth. But how wonderful it is when something happens and you just quietly say, Lord, and He just gives you something. You're like, oh, all right, I'm good. People are like, well, how come you're not freaking out? Well, because I know Him whom I have believed. Oh, I gave this testimony. I did. I told you all this stuff. I don't know where this came from. I guess so. I'm having deja vu or something. Stand and deliver means, basically it means that you can come to a place, and this is not just for people who stand in the office of a prophet. This is available to believers, but again, it's something you grow into, and this is more like as you've grown up a long way. But it can come to the place where you can stand and deliver the Word of God. You don't have to get ready. It is delightful to me. I don't have to prepare for a service ever. I don't have to. Now, I did for this one because he told me to. But by and large, I can go to a service, you know, doesn't matter what kind of day I'm having. You know, I just got to show up with a keyboard and a few pieces of paper, and I've had times when I forgot the papers, forgot the music, and I thought, I'm not going home to get it. So we just made up the music, hallelujah, just made it up. And see, as you grow in relationship, you can grow in the confidence that it doesn't matter what's going on, God will show up in your meeting. I wouldn't trade that for anything. We've had times when there was no electric in the building. We've had times when there, you know, for whatever reason, the, you know, sound didn't work or the band didn't show up. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because through relationship, I know that wherever I go, he goes. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's because I'm something special. I'm saying it's because of the years of relationship. We have a relationship, and so do you. And you can build that thing to the point where you know that where you go, he goes. And it's just exactly like walking on water. I've had times when I no more felt like having a service. I remember in this very room, I was being attacked physically. I was sick as a dog, to tell you the truth. I had a high fever all day. I was not doing well, and I did not feel physically like coming and doing a service. But I made a commitment. No devil is going to stop me from doing a service. So I show up, voice or no voice. You know, I probably looked like the Dickens. And I prayed through, and I managed to get through the music, but I'm telling you, I could hardly stand up. I was so weak. I really was very ill. And so I didn't tell anybody. I just asked the brothers and sisters, hey, let's just pray in the Spirit for a few minutes. Like, please, you know. So for a few minutes, they just prayed in the Spirit, and while they did, I was standing right there when this happened. I looked up and saw the word, destiny. And that night, and there was a terrible snowstorm, by the way. You know, Satan made sure that, you know, he just really didn't want this to happen. About 12 people made it that night. A couple of you were there. And that night, God gave me the message, A Destiny to Die For. It's one of those landmark CDs that everybody who hears it talks about it. A Destiny to Die For. But that came out of one of the worst days when there would have been every reason for me to say, oh, I don't think God can... You know, I don't think the flow is going to be there. I don't feel like I can do this. You know what? It was one of the strongest flows we ever had. And it's sort of like walking on water. You step out and know that God is going to take care of it. And he does every time. Every time. It doesn't matter. I've had times when no band showed up. You know what I've learned? It doesn't matter. You can stand there and open your mouth and sing with no music whatsoever. And the presence of the Lord will come anyway. Yes, it will. Because you're in relationship. It all comes out of the relationship that you have with him. Hey, look at that. Oh, we're a mess tonight. You know, during the break, I got really drunk in the spirit. In the spirit. And I had to drive home to get some and had to drive back. And I thought, oh, how am I going to do this? But God is working it out. God was telling me that there are certain tools that you use as you grow in God, certain methods or techniques that he will teach you. He will mentor you. He will teach you every step of the way if you'll let him. He'll give you keynote scriptures that is the key to your life. There are certain scriptures that'll be like a platform that your life will stand on. There's some scriptures that you live and they become a part of you. For me, one of those, I have several of them, but one of those is all things work together for good to them that love God. You know, that's not just a yay God scripture. That's something I actually lived through where hell itself seemed to open its mouth and every part of my life was destroyed. every single part of my life was systematically destroyed over a period of 8 years until at the end there was nothing left but dust. And it felt as though, I mean, it just seemed like nothing was ever going to go good again, and I didn't even know why. And I was serving God with all my heart. It wasn't like I wasn't. I was serving God and praying and doing all the stuff. But man, I'm telling you, I felt beat up. And it was like a city in complete ruins. That's what my life looked like. Like a war had come through and destroyed every single thing. And it was not a happy time. But one of the things that came out of that, when he said he'll give you beauty for ashes, he wasn't kidding. He will take the things that have happened to you and he will turn them into the very thing that you will be the most used in. He'll take the things that the enemy has done to harm you and he'll turn them into the platform that you'll stand on and the foundation that you'll stand on when you help other people. He'll take all the rotten things the devil ever did and he'll turn them into your testimony. He'll turn them into glory for his kingdom. And that's something I've learned. I've seen him do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. And just like Job, in the end, he got double, double, double. That is exactly the way God does. In every area, if you stay with God and stay in faith and don't give up on him, you will see the restoration. He will see him rebuild your city. And not with the crummy little buildings that were there before, but with his stuff. You know, my little city was destroyed, but, you know, the Bible says Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And one day I was just walking in to meet this preacher friend of mine, just walking in, and I saw a vision of a city that God had built, and the buildings were gold and silver, and people were running to come into that city. Because when God rebuilds your city, his buildings never fall down. His buildings never fail. And it's something he has built, and it will stand forever, see? And so when something of yours has been destroyed, hallelujah! Praise the Lord, because God is going to build something where that thing used to be. And once he builds his, you'll look back and say, I don't know why I ever liked that thing in the first place. That was nothing compared to what God is doing. So when things happen to you that aren't great, praise the Lord, because I'm telling you, if you trust him and believe him, he will turn it into something good. And this is totally not my message. Hallelujah. So he told me, should we just shut the thing and go? Well, let's just see what's on here before we... We'll just flash through so you can see. Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, man.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, we did that. Oh, we'll talk about this. This is good. One of the things that he had me change completely about my life was that I was way too busy, and my life was therefore somewhat out of balance. And this was really key to having a real relationship with God and going to deeper levels with him. Because, you know, the enemy will try to get you to sign up for everything so that you're so busy you can't sit with God even if you want to. And that's actually the scheme of the enemy. And there will be times when you actually will have to learn to say no to people. And you know, especially if you're a person that has a natural servant's heart and you like to help people, you know, at one time it was impossible for me to say no to people. I just always wanted to help people and thought I was doing a service to God. But if that service to God is cheating you out of your time with him, it is just the same as Martha cooking him dinner when Mary was sitting at his feet. And he said, Martha, Martha, you are encumbered by much serving. You're weighed down by it. It's burdening you. It's a mess, Martha. But really, only one thing is necessary. Only one thing is necessary. I'm not asking you to make me dinner. I'm not asking you to do stuff unless I really do ask you to. I'm asking you to do one thing. And that's sit at my feet and let me talk to you. Mary wasn't praying. She was listening. She was letting him disciple her. And that's what he desires. He wants disciples. He said, go and make disciples. There's a lot of believers, but to be honest with you, there's not that many true disciples. A true disciple sits at his master's feet. And we call him Lord, but the truth is, if you worked for a man, if you were someone's butler, you wouldn't act like you act towards the Lord. The butler waits. You ever see those old English movies and the butler stands behind the man who's eating and watches. He never takes his eyes off him. He watches him, and the minute the guy waves his hand, boom. That's the way we're supposed to be watching God. He's our Lord. But sometimes we act like he's our servant. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. I'm busy serving you, but you do this for me. We've got it all backwards. He is Lord. You understand? He is Lord. We need to wait on him. And you know, if you're too busy, sometimes you actually have an open door to the enemy. Because I'm going to tell you what will happen. You start going without sleep. Well, I'm talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. You start to stress and fret. Mm-hmm. You start to run too fast. You know, slapping stuff together, nothing gets done right. You're frustrated, so you're crabby half the time. Cranking at your spouse, and they're cranking back. At our house, we call it Captain Cranky Pants when somebody gets grabby. Oh, he's Captain Cranky Pants today. But I'm just as bad sometimes, you know. You get too busy, it steals your joy, it steals your peace, takes your rest away, and it's a trick of the enemy. And so it took me a while, and the way God did it to me is he took everything out of my life so there was nothing, hallelujah, and then he would only let me add back in the things that he wanted. And he trained me to say no. I couldn't say no before to people when they wanted me to do stuff, and I got so good at it that they get about halfway through the sentence, they said, would you like to know? Would you consider it? No. Would you pray about it? No. But we need a choir here. No. Done that. Wasn't fruitful. Prayed for 10 years for the glory of God to come through the choir, and guess what? It didn't. I ain't doing that again. So if you're too busy, you can actually open doors to the enemy's strategy. Not enough time in God, you're a target. Find balance and guard your schedule. Guard your time with God. One of the best times I ever had with God, I was asking him a question. I really needed his direction on something. I really wanted to know, and I needed to know for sure what he was saying to me. And when I asked him, he said, I want you to make a date with me. I said, oh, okay. Let's have a date. At 8 p.m. tonight, we're having a date. And I kept that as surely as if someone was coming to my door to pick me up. But see, we treat God as a second-hand, you know, we treat people better than we treat God. We, you know, somebody's going to come to your house, man, you clean, you get, well, depends who's coming. Oh, I repent, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, if they've been over there more than 5 times, I don't know about that. But if someone's coming at 8 and they're going to pick you up and take you somewhere, if you got any character at all, you're ready. And you're waiting for them. You know, if you've made a date, you're ready. But, you know, we do this with God, and we push him off and push him off. Well, later, oh, you know, it's too late now. I got to go to bed, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Well, how rude can you get? This is the one that created your eyeballs, we're talking about. The one that created your heart. Want to put shoes on your feet and a roof over your head. We need to make dates with him and keep them. And if you're a busy person, you know, cut some things out. But even if you can't, you can find 20 minutes. When I was real busy, I'd find 20 minutes about 4 times a day, and I'd sneak off and I'd keep that date. And if I missed one, I just didn't miss the rest, you know. Keep going. If you miss something, keep going. If you blow it, keep on going. Don't stop because you blew it. Keep pressing. Guard your relationships. A lot of Christians open too many doors to people. And they open, how do I say this? You can open your soul too wide to somebody. I know this is going to sound like a strange statement, but sometimes when you open yourself too much, you can receive things that aren't good. Sometimes people's issues will try to come on you. And you can love people and fellowship with them, but there's a way to guard your relationship so that you're not sucked into their issue, okay? And I'm just going to say this. Sometimes you'll find two women that are friends, and there becomes they start to get in a relationship where one can't buy a purse without calling the other one. One can't make a decision without telling. One can't have a secret with her husband without telling the other one. You know, that's just out of order. And what happens is there is some idolatry in there. And a lot of times, you know, I'm going to say it. The Bible talks about silly women. And sometimes we open too many doors, and a lot of times it's because of people being emotionally needy. You know, did you ever see, I'm not picking on you, all right, but did you ever see one woman go to the bathroom and eight people get up and go with her? What, you can't go potty by your, what is that about? Get away from me. I'm going to the bathroom, man. Don't follow me. Get away. You know? And I'm not saying that's wrong or anything, but sometimes there's a neediness or a feeling of, you know, you don't want to go somewhere by yourself. You know, God wants you to be whole in Him. And there's a place where you can come to such wholeness. You know, where your friend will call and you go, I'm not home, I don't hear that. That ring, ring, I hear nothing. I'm with God. Sometimes it's okay not to answer that phone. You don't need to be on the phone, have your face stuck to that phone all the time. Yeah, hallelujah. Some people have a cell phone for an idol. Do you ever see somebody that can't shop without a phone stuck to their face? Hallelujah. I'm so rude today.
Right on.
One of the things that will cause you enormous victory is the knowledge of the truth, renewing your mind to understand the truth of the New Testament, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is that He has already provided victory for you. He has already provided healing for you, freedom. If you ever study Isaiah 53, really meditate on it. It is amazing what He died for you to have. And if you renew your mind, He actually, it says He carried our sorrows. Surely He has borne our griefs. He took, you know what that means? He took depression. He took sadness. He took grieving and sorrow away. And what happens is we still sometimes carry it, but we don't have to. He's not condemning you, but if you're carrying depression right now, bring it to the cross and put it where it belongs. Put it at the cross. You don't have to take it. There's some things He bore for you so you don't have to. It says that the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And the King James, that's kind of a funny way of saying it, but it's saying the stealing of your peace. When Satan tries to steal your peace, even that stealing went upon Jesus. So you can have peace. You can walk in peace. You can know, experientially know peace. Because Jesus died for you to have that too. Not just forgiveness. Because by His stripes you were healed. Many people believe that every sickness in the world went on the cross. I have a friend whose husband was at death's door. He had a bacteria of some strange kind, and the doctors didn't even know what it was. They had no solution whatsoever, and they threw up their hands and said, we don't even know what this thing is. We've never seen this one. He was very nearly dead, and she's a prayer warrior, and she said to God, she said, God, I can fight if I have a strategy. I need to know the strategy. And she was just sitting by his bed, and you know, she didn't get into fear, and she didn't give in to the enemy. The enemy, you know, God would be screaming in your ear that he's going to kill him, he's going to take him, and it looked bad. She didn't freak out. She just sat before the Lord and prayed and said, Lord, give me your strategy. And all of a sudden, she saw a picture of Jesus on the cross. And she heard a voice say, and she said she believes that it was the Holy Spirit. And that voice said, Lord, will you take this too? Will you take this too? And the Lord said, yes, I'll take that too. And he took that bacteria on the cross. And that man was healed. That thing left his body and he was healed. That thing went on the cross. Jesus took that too. Isn't that wonderful? So knowing and renewing your mind to what he has, past tense, already done. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has been given to you. So where is it? It's in heavenly places. How do I get it? Through faith and appropriating it by God's word. Okay? He's already given it. Sometimes you're crying out to God, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. It's like, I did. But where is it? Well, it's like in a staging area. He has put it there. Now you've got to get it by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Knowing the instant forgiveness and mercy of God, we talked about this, don't lose time. When you make a mistake, go straight to God. Repent of it, let Him forgive you, and then move on. When you renew your mind to come to truly understand the grace and mercy of God, that His mercy is new every morning. Every morning, we start over with new mercy. Every morning, there's new mercy. And as long as you have a contrite heart and you truly repent, He forgives it and forgets it. He takes it and He puts it in the sea of forgetfulness and He remembers our sin no more. But we do, we ponder it and we beat ourselves up and feel like I can't be used to God, I can't go in the Holy of Holies. And that's a lie from the pit. If your heart was truly repentant and you meant it when you said you were sorry, He forgives you, He forgets it, and you can go straight into the Holy of Holies and get delivered, get set free, be used to God. Hallelujah. That's the gospel message. In my view, that's the gospel message. It's a great message. And once you renew your mind to know that, Satan can never get you on it again. There isn't a situation in life that God and you together can't handle with victory and blessing if you walk together and go through it together. Learning the ways of walking with God through every situation. The enemy wants to divide you from God because he knows it is the way to defeat you. Sometimes God has shown it to me this way. There's the veil of the temple was torn, making the way open for the Holy of Holies. But I see sometimes the enemy dancing around in front of it with a sword, trying to keep people out because he knows that if you get there, it's victory. If you go into that place in faith believing, if you go into the presence of God, if you fellowship with Him, it's over for the devil, and he knows it. So that's why he's always trying to throw guilt or condemnation or accusation or fear or doubt. He's always trying to throw whatever will work for you. Whatever will work on you, that's what he'll try. But if you set your mind, just like I said, my mind's made up, I'm going to the service, I don't care what. I'm going to do it, I don't care what. So he can't get me on that. Well, in the same way, I made up my mind a long time ago because God taught me this. He taught me. Because I actually had a stronghold of guilt. It was a stronghold on my life. I felt guilty all the time. I felt condemned all the time. I couldn't go in the presence of God. I was not worthy. I didn't even think God liked me very much because why would He? See, but my mind was not renewed and God began to train me. He set me free from the stronghold, but then it took Him 2 years to straighten out my mind because it was so unbelieving and messed up. I didn't really believe that God loved me, not deep down. I didn't really believe that I was forgiven. I didn't really believe that He was pleased with me because I knew me. I had flaws. I had failures. How could I go in the Holy of Holies? And it was the thing that the enemy used to cheat me for some years. And God began to train me and teach me about true holiness. And basically what He told me is that people believe that holiness is something that they walk good enough or pure enough so that they can come before God. And in one sense, I understand that. But what I believe is God's viewpoint is, you know, you're a mess, but I love you, and you're my kid. You come in here and I will cleanse you. I will wash you. I will purify you. Even though I did that when you were born again, You walked, you know, you've been walking in the earth. And you know, I love this about Jesus. When he washed the disciples' feet, I've never heard anybody else say this, but this is just, you know, take it or leave it, this is my opinion. He said these words. He said, all of you are clean, but except for one. So was he really talking about the dirt on their feet? He was talking about Judas being unclean spiritually. He was talking about spiritually, Judas was unclean. He said, all of you are clean, except not that one. He said, have I not chosen you, and one of you is a devil? Not has a devil, is a devil. That's what he said. You can look it up. And he said that we're to wash one another's feet. And he washed our feet. You know, I believe it was a symbol. As you walk around in your life, there are times when you get junk on you. There are times when you make mistakes. There's times when the enemy comes again. You know, the enemy, he tries. And there's times when you'll get, you know, some junk on you. Get a little dirty, you know. Somebody's slinging mud at you. Or maybe, you know, you don't react right to somebody. Washing feet is, you take a person and you pray for them, pray with them until you've broken the yoke off, until their feet are cleansed, until they're cleansed again. In other words, you know, Isaiah 58 says, is this not the fast I've chosen for you? You take away the pointing of the finger, that you loose the bands of wickedness, that you break the heavy yoke off of one another. So in other words, if somebody's having a bum day and they're not doing so good, you pray them through it. You pray for them. You're washing and cleansing their feet. Spiritually speaking, that's what he's talking about. That's my opinion. You know, again, take it or leave it, but that's what we call hollyology at my house. The enemy wants you to think that the problem is that God isn't helping you. He'll say God cares for others, but not you. Others are called, but not you. He'll say, he'll have thoughts in your mind, this stuff never did work for me. You see it working for other people, but it never worked for me. God can't fix this, you're not worthy. But remember this, no matter what kind of situation you've been in, the prodigal son is always welcome back home. Father never asked him any questions, where were you, where'd you spend the money, how come you got pig slop on you, how come you smell bad? He never asked him any of that. He saw him coming and ran as fast as he could and held him and hugged him. Got out the best robe, got out the ring, killed the fatted calf and threw a party. That's always God's reaction when someone has been in a mess. So no matter where you have walked and what you've done, God is always calling you to come back home. Let me clean you. Let me clean you up. Let me give you a robe. Because he loves you. Learn God's method for walking through life and you will always find victory. Not saying there won't be battles, but you will have victory. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Some of you came this weekend and you were heavy laden. You were bent over with the burdens of what your life has been. And I saw it on some people, several people when they came in, just worn down and bent over under the weight of what their life has been. And Jesus is saying to you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest unto your souls. It's almost like he's saying, let me minister to you. Let me pour that anointing over you that will cleanse and refresh you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and learn of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we got through it. The last one was kind of a mess. I got to tell you, I did that. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. So glory be to God. Ho ba 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 sa ta ki. I forgot to take an offering this afternoon, but I'm going to take one tonight. I want to tell you that someone found some lost money, and if you can come and tell us what it was, what it looked like, we'll give it to you. Otherwise, it's going in the bucket. No, green doesn't count. Gotta be worse than that. Oh, I think I had a face in the middle. No, that doesn't count either. So Edgar, at the last minute, was given a chance to go to Liberia. So with 2 hours' notice, They went to the airport, and then they called. They had some trouble, and I believe they got on the plane because we tried to call them back, and we weren't able to reach any of them, so we're thinking that they made it on the plane.
They're off to somewhere.
They're somewhere. And, you know, I thank those of you that have given. I'm going to ask you to just ask the Lord for what He would like you to do. Ministry, you know, I heard a woman that's an older saint of God. She spent everything she had to minister to the saints, sunk her pension and everything she had into ministry. And I understand, you know, I remember when she said it, and now I appreciate it from a new view. Because you do, you sink everything into it because you want to help people and you want to serve the Lord. But it's such a blessing. I can't even tell you. There's just no words. When people come alongside and help, it means so much. People have been so faithful to give. You know, I know a lot of people in this season have not had jobs and couldn't give. You know, and praise the Lord. You know, God understands. But I'm so thankful I'm just telling you, I just want to thank you for those of you that have been so faithful. It really means a lot. And it's refreshing to us and encouraging, because there's times when you just feel like you're slugging it out by yourself, and it just really means a lot when people help. So if you need to make out a check, make it out to EBM. Some of you might have heard us mention that every month we have a regular transfer of money that goes into a special account, and that is pulled out every month at the orphanages in Kenya to help them feed the children. But it's more important than the food. They don't just feed the children, but they allow the children to grow up under the teaching of the Lord. So that instead of running the streets, they're actually growing up, learning the scriptures, learning how to read and write. So instead of having to be street kids, they actually are raised in a loving environment and by people who really love the Lord and are anointed of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if I have the heart for this, but I'm not going to make you do this, but it would mean a lot to me if you did it. This is a little questionnaire, and this is just, you can be totally anonymous. You don't have to put your name, so you can say, you are a slug. I won't be hurting you. You need to get a clue about your PowerPoint. You need to fix your hair. You can say anything you want. I'm joking around, but you can say anything you want. But I'm really looking for honest feedback of what is helpful, what is not helpful. What could be done better? I believe that with all my heart that the Lord has called me to do this. And I believe that we're going to do more of these and probably under different subjects. And I just really want to know your opinion. I'd like to know what if it was helpful or what we could do better. Thank you so much for reminding me. Whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.